Let's turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. It's going to be a little different today. This is a real, this whole chapter is rich in God's grace. It's rich in God's mercy. It's just filled with what Christ has accomplished in our stead. The accomplishments of Christ. And we see in this book of Galatians that they're going back towards the law mentality. And Paul is admonishing them and taking them through the scriptures and revealing to them, no, you are saved by the Spirit and not by the law. Circumcision is nothing. Circumcision is just an outward sign of your belief. It's faith. It's what Christ has done. So I'm just going to read this whole chapter. Sometimes it's good for us to go back and review things. So, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man can disannul or addeth to. Not to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as seeds as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given unto them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. for all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Amen.
So Paul makes this very, very big point, which he should have, that it is by faith that we are saved, and not by the law. And I'm going to get into individual verses here in a minute and just read scriptures that just kind of back them up. But we see that God has done it all. And the Galatians, they were wanting to go back and, here's my circumcision, here's this, and here's that. They're adding to, or they're taking away from what God has given through Christ. The whole book of Jesus is about the faith of God, about the faith of man, about the sacrifice of Christ. And that is our acceptance to God, is what Christ had given.
Amen.
Not by what we have. Because I'm getting ahead of myself. But what Paul had said was, if you are going to live by the law, then you're going to be judged by the law. And we know that no man can live in the law because of the weakness of the flesh. The Galatians were being bewitched. It speaks about them being bewitched and going back to the law through circumcision. Paul points out through this book that circumcision was only a sign. And we can go back to Abraham. It was a covenant. No, it was a sign. It was a sign of those who were under the covenant of God, the first covenant. It was not the means of acceptance to God. It was only an outward sign. So we see that circumcision means nothing and uncircumcision means nothing. It's only in Christ Jesus do we have acceptance to God. Today, that people are thinking that they are accepted of God, but what they do or who they know, are they coming up some other way than Jesus? Well, I know this pastor. I'm affiliated with this church, and this church is the only church that is going to make it to heaven. Or I follow after this guy or that guy, or I wear this type of clothing, or I eat this certain food. Whatever it is, anything that you are trying to make your acceptance to God apart from Christ is going up some other way, and you are a robber.
Amen.
You are robbing what Christ has done for us.
Amen.
Do they think that because they spend an hour or two in the church meeting that they are accepted? And that this is enough to fulfill the requirements of God? How many people do we know that? Well, I go to church. Well, what else you do? Oh, then I do this and this and this and this. You know, whatever. But they don't. They're only focused on God 2 hours a week, and the rest of the week they're living to the flesh. Is this acceptable? God told Malachi, he's not pleased with many rivers of oil. You can sacrifice everything you have. It's mercy and judgment. We can see both sides of the coin. We have those on one side who think that they are accepted no matter what they do, as long as they have confessed Christ with their lips. We know people like that. Oh, I said a prayer. I'm good. But yet they go and they do not reflect Christ, but they think that they're okay. And we have the other side which says, you must do that you must do this or you must do that, that you must wear this garment, or our life, our mannerisms are making us accepted to God. We have been accepted through the sacrifice and the shed blood of Christ. There is nothing that we can add to or take away from that which Christ has accomplished.
Amen.
This is all in our salvation, in our acceptance to God, in our ability to go to the throne room of God and be accepted into the Beloved and being brought forth.
Amen.
as children. We cannot be accepted any more to God than what Christ has accomplished for us. We can't. Christ laid down His life. There's nothing more that we can give to God to make us more accepted than that. If we go back to the law, then we bind ourselves. We're binding ourselves back to that law mentality. We put the shackles back on our ankles. We are crucifying the Son of God afresh. If we go back to the law, it is by faith, through grace, that we are accepted, and not by our works, lest we should boast. It's totally taking everything away from us. All of our power, all of our thoughts, all of our strength, all of our money, it means nothing to God. It is, are we in Christ or not? And if we are in Christ, then yes, nothing else matters.
Amen.
If we are in Christ, then we have been given the heart of God. We have been given the mind of Christ. Our desires, His desires become our desires. His hatreds become our hatreds. And now no more we have to live by the laws of the land or by the laws that God had ordained. His laws are not grievous. They're not laws anymore. They're what we want to do.
Amen.
I don't want to kill someone. I don't want to forsake God's name. I don't want to steal. I don't want to covet. I don't want to lust. I do not want to forsake the Sabbath or make an idol. I don't want to do that anymore. But am I living that by the law? No, I'm not. God has done that in me.
Amen.
To want to for me so that I can want to do the things that He wants me to do. I want to show favor to my neighbor. I want to take care of my neighbor. I want to give to the poor. I want to strengthen up the feeble knees. Raise up those hands that hang low. This is not a law mentality. This is a loving servant mentality that God has given us through Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
Because we could do that in the flesh. I know many people that would lay down their life for their brother in the emergency realm. Okay? But they're not of Christ. It's not profiting them anything. But see, only when you're in Christ will this pan out. Will this be a benefit? This will be a profit to you. And we're doing it out of the graciousness, out of our love for what God has done for us. See, we're going from the law mentality to the grace mentality, to the mercy mentality. No more do this and live. No more do this and die. It's now, here I am, send me. It is now, this is what I want to do, O Lord. We have been redeemed. We've been redeemed from the law. We have been made righteous through the law, through Christ Jesus. And through Christ Jesus alone. We did not become righteous in the law through our own works. Only through Christ were we made righteous through the law. We have been made free from it. Why would we go back to it? Why would a prisoner who had been released fully from prison want to go back? I don't want to go back to the shackles of sin. I don't want to go back to that prison house of the flesh where I wake up and think, what can I do, flesh, today? What do you want me to do today? No, I want to wake up every morning. God, what do you want me to do today? And the flesh says, no, stay in bed. You're tired. I says, no, flesh, you stay. No, I'm going to do what God wants.
Amen.
You know, I don't want to go back to that prison. I don't want to go back to Egypt. Israel wanted to go back to Egypt because of the fish and the garlics and the melons and, oh, the bondage. Woo-hoo. You don't see any of that, do you? No, they remembered the food that they had, but they forgot of the beatings. They forgot of the killings. They forgot of the slavery. They forgot of all the babies that were cast into the Nile. That's what the flesh does. That's what Satan does. He's subtle in showing you the goodness of sin. He revealed to Eve, this fruit looks good, and it's good. And she partook and ate of it. The Israelites saw the goodness, what they thought perceived was the goodness of Egypt. But they forgot about the snares that was laid for them. And we got to be very careful that we too do not go back to Egypt. Go back to that life that God has redeemed us from, just as the Galatians were. The Galatians were wanting to go back to the law because that's what they were comfortable in. They could say, I've done this, that rich young ruler. I've done this, Lord. I've done that, Lord. I did all of these. What more can I do? And Jesus said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. I can't do that. It's real easy to go off a checklist. I have not done this. I have not done that. I have not done this. Oh, but what about this? Well, you know. No. All sin, any trespass against God, you transgressed against the whole law. Mm-hmm. And there's no coming back from that other than Christ alone. Mm-hmm. You can't do more law to overshadow the little law that you broke. There is no little law. Every trespass against God. Yeah, you're a lawbreaker. You're dead. Once you die, there's no coming back. And once you've sinned that first time, you're dead. You're separated from God. And there's no coming back from that. No amount of law. You know, you kill someone, you go to prison. There's not enough law to redeem you from prison. You've got a sentence. And the Galatians were going back to the law in this circumcision. We are heirs now according to the promise, not through what we do or by our works. That is the point that Paul is making throughout this book of Galatians. So let's kind of look at some of the verses through this book, this chapter. In verse 2 it says, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Romans 1:17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. How much more clear do you need? It doesn't say from law to the law. It says from faith to faith. This is where the righteousness of God comes from. And we see that it was accounted unto Abraham for righteousness because he followed the law. No, the law wasn't established yet. Righteousness was imputed unto Abraham because he believed. He believed what God had said, that all nations of the world shall be blessed through his seed. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not by hearing by the law, but by hearing of the word of God. And we can see in John 1, what is the Word? What is the true Word? It is Christ and Christ alone. The whole Bible is Christ. It reveals Christ. And the more you learn of who Christ is, the more you can go through the Old Testament and see Christ in scriptures, in passages that you've never seen Him before. Why is that? Because the whole is written of Him. The whole book is written of Christ and God's redemption through Christ. Verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh. Again, Paul's point. You came to God accepting acceptance by Christ, so now are you going to perfect it? So my reasoning in this is there was something flawed with Christ's death that you have to perfect it? No. Galatians 4:7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. How ye turn again unto the weak and beggarly elements. Weak and beggarly elements aren't able to support. They're not able to endure through the times. What happens when you build a house on sand? It crumbles. Okay? So going back to the law, you're going back to these weak and beggarly elements because you're setting your foundation on the law and not on Christ. And it's going to collapse. Because if you live by the law, you're going to be judged by the law. And no one is justified by the law.
That's right. Amen.
Galatians 5:3, for I testify again. He keeps making this point again. Galatians are kind of dull of hearing. Sometimes we are too. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. So if you're circumcised and you are finding your acceptance through that circumcision, then you are a debtor to the whole law and you got to keep every one of the laws. And I think I heard it one time, there was like 600 and some odd laws that somebody counted up. You got to keep each and every one of them. And you trespass again against one point of the law and you trespass them through them all. So the he that is a debtor to do the whole law, Christ has become of none effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye have fallen from grace. These are harsh. These are hard words that Paul was speaking, though it was writing to the Galatians. Why? Because this is soul. He is trying to save their souls. This is eternal life or eternal death. Yes, there are hard points here, but they need to be said.
Amen.
Christ has become no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. He has no more of you. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Someone brought this false idea into the Galatians saying, you must be circumcised. And it just spread forth like leaven. This is Satan, isn't it? The subtlety of Satan. You don't bring in a whole sack full of leaven and pour it in. Just a little bit. Just a little bit of leaven will leaveneth the whole lump. So you get in through a crack. You get in through subtlety. And then it spreads like a cancer. Verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? John 20:29. Jesus said unto them, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. We do not believe in what Christ has done through the law. We believe it through the Spirit. The Spirit has revealed this to us. I'm sure many of these Galatians were not living possibly. I don't know what the time of this was. But there's a possibility that a lot of these Galatians were not living at the time of Christ. So they didn't see. But yet they did know the law. And that's what they could see with their fleshly eyes. But it says this and this and this and this. But see, they wasn't looking through the eyes of faith. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet believe. Abraham did not see Isaac at the time God gave him the blessing through his seed. That was another 25 years. But Abraham believed. Without faith, it is impossible to believe him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, through faith, not the law. Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, Romans 4:3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, and justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So see, righteousness did not come from the law. It came through faith and belief. 4:9 of Romans. Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. He received a sign of circumcision, says the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they believe be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. We see that God did not impute, did not give him the sign of circumcision before the law or before the promise, but after the promise. And God accounted unto him righteous before circumcision was given. Through the Spirit. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Again, we're going back to the to the harshness of the law, to the hardness of the law. It is written on stones. Those laws are written in granite. You know, if you with a diamond pen by God. They cannot be altered. They cannot be amended. So we see that if you follow after the law and you, again, trespass just one, cursed are you. James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. There's no wavering in the law. And I'm not saying there's any wavering in God either. But there's no wavering in the law. And there's no coming back from trespassing the law. Romans 7:9, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived. And what happened? I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. So we see, again, the law was given because of transgressions. The law was given to see, to show, to reveal to us that sin is exceedingly sinful. And when we go back to the law, it might look good. Well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing and I'm doing everything according to the law, but it's death unto me. When sin revived, what happened? I died, Paul said. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. In verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Hebrews 6:13, for when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying will I multiply thee. That had no hook in the law. It didn't say, if you follow the law, I will bless thee. No, it was it was all by the promises that God had given. If you believe in me. And God said, surely blessing will I bless thee. We're not working for our salvation through the law. It has been imputed unto us through Christ. And now we are made joint heirs with Christ. Mm-hmm. By a promise, not by works. We have been given eternal life through Christ Jesus. By a promise and not by works. Christ is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. We are not interceding to God by the law, but Christ is interceding for us. Verse 22, but the Scripture hath concluded all. The Scripture, God's Word, hath concluded that all are under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Amen. The Scripture was not only written for the Israelites, was it? It wasn't only written for the Jews. Mm-hmm. No. Christ did not come to die just for the Jews. We even have scriptures in the law talking about bringing in strangers. Way back in the law, it talks about bringing in strangers. Well, granted, if you do this and do this and this, just like the law. But we see here that Christ has died for the sin of the world, not the sin of the Jews. Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Do we know anyone that has not died? Nope. I can't personally say, oldest person I know might be 100 years old, but they're going to die. I'm going to die. James is going to die. Everybody's going to die. Why? Because we're all under sin. Sin entered into the world by one man, but we also know that life entered into the world by one man. It didn't enter into the world by the law. Life entered in by Christ and Christ alone. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When you come up short of something, you've missed the mark. How would you like to have a 10-foot rope and you have an 11-foot fall? You've come up short. You can't get that. You have a bridge that only goes halfway. Come short of the glory of God. No one makes it through the law. And then verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith which should afterwards be revealed. Hebrews 11:13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Through the law, is any man ever very confident that he's going to make it? But through faith, we know that if we stay in the faith of God, then we are plainly declaring that we are seeking a country. And we're not receiving those promises now. We're seeing them afar off. This is through faith. This is not through the law. And in Hebrews 11:39 it says, And these all, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. For God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfectness through faith. Perfectness through the blood of Christ, not perfectness through the law. And in closing, let us remember that God has changed our heart to make us willing and able to do His commandments, and He has washed us in the blood to make us acceptable in His sight. Ezekiel 11:19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. All because He has given us a new heart, a heart of belief. First Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what we were redeemed by.
Amen.
By the precious blood of Christ. If we love God, then we will do His commandments because they are not grievous. The law is our schoolmaster. It shows us that we are not accepted and cannot accomplish what the law requires. It truly brings us to Christ. We have been given a promise by God that we would be accepted through the seed of Abraham, which is Christ Jesus. There is nothing else that we can do to disannul or add to it. Christ has accomplished it all, and it is up to us to receive or reject the gift that God has given. And let me leave us with one last verse in Hebrews 10:21. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Is there any other questions or comments or corrections?
I appreciated your talking about how God has changed our nature so that we love what He loves. And just really good to hear it again, and the way you said it was really edifying.
I'm glad it's not up to me for my acceptance in God.
Yeah.
I truly, because I'll fail.
Amen.
You know, I fail things on this earth, and they're little minor things. You know, I'm thankful. You know, there's not a word big enough, I don't think, that we can thank God for what Christ has done, and we truly don't know the fullness of it until we see Him face to face. See that pureness of God.
Access by grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been done by grace, been done by His mercy and His love. And there we can see His love and what we've heard this morning of others sharing that we just have a big God, and a God that is able to love even us that have fallen in a sin nature. So throughout all eternity, we're going to be praising for the kindness that we have from Christ Jesus and God's Father sending him.
Mm-hmm.
Through all ages, we'll be praising for his grace.
We will see it. We'll see it in its fullness. We'll see the land that was slain. We'll see the light. We'll see the temple. With the temple, there will be no temple. But we'll see the light that is shining from Christ. Well, I thank you all for your thoughts and your... I can't bless the words. Thank you. Let's stand up and...